God cannot cancel what Christ did. Amen to that.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. I thank you for watching today. Would you turn in your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about the mystery as compared with prophecy. And the mystery includes this time that we're now living in. It includes the church, which is the body of Christ, which was a mystery. And it includes the fact that Jesus Christ died for sinners, people that were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, and so forth. We're going to read in a moment in Colossians chapter 1. I want to mention to you one of the reasons for the charts on the board and the things that I preach and whatever. Now, the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and that's clear in the Scriptures. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3 that, he says that it's his job to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And he goes on and says it's a mystery that was hid in God from the foundation of the world. And in that context, he brings out the fact that Gentiles who had been aliens from Israel, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of Rome, had no hope and were without God in the world, that those Gentiles, by believing the gospel of Christ, became fellow heirs with the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy and those saints of God. These Gentiles became fellow heirs with them, partakers of Christ's promise, God's promise in Christ, and it was by the gospel. In other words, idol-worshipping Gentiles who had not feared God in the past, they had not worked righteousness in the past, they had been enemies of God, had become reconciled by the death of Christ at Calvary, but they themselves had been given the privilege of believing the good news. What? That they could be saved by the same gospel that these other people were saved by. And that in salvation, they were placed in the same body with the Apostle Paul. In other words, we in this age that believe in Christ, believing that He died for our sins, was buried and rose again, we trust Him. We are made equal in Christ with the Apostle Paul, Timothy, Silas, all those Old Testament, saints there that are referred to by Paul in Romans through Philemon. Now, that was a mystery. That was a mystery hid in God. It was not even mentioned in the Old Testament Scriptures. The teaching today is that if you'll become like an Israelite, God will save you. People don't use that term, but it amounts to that. The point is, repent of your sins, believing the Lord, and keep the commandments, be baptized for remission of sins, and after you go through all this process, maybe you will be acceptable to God. But that's not the truth. The real truth is that you don't have to do anything to be acceptable to God. Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done to get you acceptable to God. In fact, your faith, whether it endures or whether it doesn't, is not the issue here. The issue is if you'll trust Jesus Christ, as the Ephesians of Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as they did, they heard the word of the truth of the gospel. That is, that Christ died for their sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. They heard that, and they believed that, and then they put their trust in Him. They trusted that what He did at Calvary would save them. They heard the word of the truth of the gospel. They trusted Christ and were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, if you will trust Christ as your Savior, as they did, His faith is put to your account. That is, as Galatians 2:16, we are justified by His faith. we also believe in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Christ, by faith, went to Calvary. By faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that God would raise him from the dead if he died for you. By faith, he took your sins and was made to be your sins. He accepted that by faith. Why? Because he believed God. He believed that if he died the death for sins, God would raise him from the dead. And so he was justified by faith, having taken your sins. You understand that Jesus Christ was accursed at Calvary. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that condemneth not, and all things written in the book of the law to do them. And even though Jesus Christ, as a human being, even though as a person, he kept the law, nevertheless, he became your sin. Your sin was placed upon him, and he became your sin, and God turned his back upon him. And Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ, by faith, went to Calvary. Jesus Christ, by faith, became your sin. Jesus Christ, by faith, was judged in your behalf. His faith endured. His faith held out to the end. And he died, and in his death, your sins were justified if you trust him. That is so simple. If Jesus Christ died for my sins, if Jesus Christ paid for my sins, and the Bible said that he did, and I trust him, my sins having been put to his account, how can God put them to my account? Say, well, what if later on you get so you don't believe? I may later on get so confused I don't know what I believe. But he will never be confused. His faith endured. His faith brought upon himself the death that he suffered. And folks, what's done is done. What went on at Calvary in A.D. 33 cannot change. Do you understand that? Whatever you do today is not going to change what took place at Calvary. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross in your behalf. It was your cross. You deserve that cross. But Christ was nailed to that cross in your behalf. Jesus Christ became your sin. He did that in your behalf. It's already happened. He did it in A.D. 33. Jesus Christ died in your behalf. Jesus Christ was buried in your behalf. And God raised him from the dead. Justified him, if you please. Raised him from the dead in your behalf. You cannot change that. Whatever you do tomorrow or the next day will not change that fact. It'll remain forever that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And if down the road someplace you get to the point you're not sure what you believe, if you trust him right now, if you put your confidence in him right now, believing that he paid for your sins, believing that he died for your sins, believing that he became your sin at Calvary, and your sin was judged at Calvary, if you put your confidence in him right now, believing with all your heart, trusting him with all your heart, no matter what happens in the future, that fact cannot change. You cannot go back and unravel history. What you did up until today, how are you going to go back, retrace your steps, and change all that? You can't change all that. Oh, if you owe somebody some money, you can go and money. But how about if you murdered somebody? You're going to go back and unmurder them? How about if you lied about somebody? On and on. You can't go back and change what is already done. Nor can you go back to Calvary by your sins and undo the fact that Christ died for your sins. You can't change that. Are you going to take your sins off of Christ? If you do something bad in the next week or two, is God going to withdraw your sins from Christ and say, all right, even though Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary, I'm going to withdraw? He cannot do that. So what's the answer? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Receive Him as your Savior, trusting with all your heart that He did pay for your sins at Calvary. And it cannot change. Say, well, what about if next week I do so? Whatever you do next week is not going to change the fact that Christ died for all your sins. It cannot change. Say, what if I get so I don't believe? Whatever you do in the future, it will not change what happened at Christ. God can never deny you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You know something? God cannot deny what His Son did at Calvary on your behalf. If you get so you don't even believe after trusting Him as your Savior, God can't deny that His Son died for you at Calvary. God cannot deny that He put your sins on Christ and He paid for them at Calvary. He can't deny that. Can you get to a judgment someplace and God say, since you didn't live a perfect life in My name, I withdraw everything I did for you? Can't do that. It's impossible that it be. And it's sinful to even think of it. There's some of you out there that you think you can get saved tomorrow and then lose it next month, get it back a month later because you prayed at some altar somewhere or whatever. That's sinful. That's idolatry. It's an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. You know what will please God this morning? You just simply trust His Son. Put your confidence in His Son. Totally and completely trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That'll make God happy. Say, well, what about later on? Don't worry about later on. Worry about right now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, with all that in mind, I want to tell you about, I heard the other day about a young man. This young man was visiting in the home of his mother. And he has a younger brother. That younger brother had been to a youth camp. And in that youth camp, when he arrived there, by the way, his mother said to the young boy, said, tell John what happened to you. And so the young 13-year-old lad said, well, I got saved. And John, I'll call him, said, well, tell me about it. And so he told him they'd arrived at that youth camp, and the first day he went into a council meeting, and the counselor said unto him, if you died today, would you go to heaven or to hell? And that young man said, I don't really know. And that counselor said, well, we're going to change that. Before the week is out, we're going to see that that's different. So, the week went by, and during that time he went to other council meetings, and finally, at the end of the week, he met with his counselor again. And in the conversation that time, that counselor said, pray after me. And this 13-year-old repeated the so-called sinner's prayer with him. And after the prayer, the counselor said, now you're saved. But he said, there's one other thing you need. You need to be baptized. So they took that 13-year-old and they baptized him. And they told him, now you're a member of the church. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people across this land today, folks, that are in that same state, that same frame of mind, and you may be one of them. You never trusted Christ as your Savior. You just repeated a prayer that somebody else said. You never really trusted Christ as your Savior. You, as a child, were told, ask Jesus to come into your heart. You never really trusted Christ as your Savior. You just walked the aisle while the organist played softly, just as I am, without one plea, and you joined some church and was baptized. You never really trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just met in a council meeting with some elders of a church, and they received you into that assembly. I could go on and on and on. Tell me something. When did you, as a sinner, when did you, as a lost, doomed, and damned sinner, trust Christ as your Savior? Do you remember a day in your life that you realized you were lost? Do you remember a day in your life that you realized that unless God saved you, you would go to hell? Do you remember a day in your life that you were convicted, and in that day you saw that Jesus Christ died for your sins? You saw clearly that He was nailed to the cross, and He paid for your sins at Calvary. And seeing that, you trusted Him as your Savior. What day in your life did that happen? Can you trace back in your life and remember a time that that happened to you? Maybe you were hearing a preacher preach in a sermon somewhere, in a church service, and you became convicted and you saw your need to trust Christ. And in that day, there in that service, you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you were in your home, as right now, and heard a preacher preaching the gospel of Christ. And in that day, you got under conviction. You realized you weren't saved. You realized your church membership couldn't keep you out of hell. And in that day, you trusted Christ. Wasn't a matter of somebody getting you to repeat some prayer after Him. It was a matter of you simply, because you wanted to, trusted Christ as your Savior. Can you remember that day in your life? I'm not talking about a day when somebody led you as a little child and that person said to you, "Do you want to go to hell?" And you said, "No." And that person said, "You want to go to heaven when you die?" And you answered, "Yes." And that person said, "Will you just open up your heart right now and ask Jesus to come in?" And you didn't understand opening up your heart, but you asked Jesus, after having seen the picture of Jesus standing knocking at the door. And so that so-called Christian worker convinced you that Jesus was knocking at the door of your little heart. And you opened up your heart and let Jesus come in. But now you realize you did not know that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You did not see the light and the clarity that Christ paid for your sins at Calvary. You did not recognize that you were lost, doomed, and damned, and going to hell. And in that condition, trusted Christ as your Savior. None of those things happened to you. Can you remember the day that you trusted Christ? You see, the Bible said Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. When were you lost? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I've talked to thousands of people in the last 30 to 40 years and asked them what is the gospel and have them say, "Well, it's good news." Yes, it's good news. But what is that good news? Well, it's the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible, all right, but what is that good news? And find they do not know the gospel of Christ. They do not know by the light coming into them and the revelation of them, they do not know the truth that Christ died for their sins. You see, there are words that come in the ears of people that say certain things, and yet the light doesn't come on when those words are spoken. I've known hundreds of people in the past 20 years that had heard the gospel time and time and time again, but never saw it. And then one day, bingo, they saw that truth. Total and complete commitment of your salvation to the Lord, totally trusting Him, believing that He died for your sins. Where did that happen to you? What was the circumstances that surrounded it? If you cannot remember that, how do you say that it ever happened? So because of those kind of things, because people are being conned today, because religious teachers and preachers and con artists are pulling the wool over their eyes, that's why we continue with this chart. That's why we continue this thing about the mystery. That's why we continue with the idea that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. That's why we keep telling you that it is not your moral condition that's the issue. It doesn't make any difference where you've been, what you were doing while you were there. It doesn't make any difference what your moral condition has been all your life. The point is, you must believe in Christ. You must trust Christ. You must claim Him as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to end up in hell. That's what the issue is. The issue has absolutely nothing to do with coming in mass after some fancy pants television evangelist has conned you into getting into the aisle, told some sob story and got you upset. So you come down front and he leads the mass in the sinner's prayer. No. Salvation comes when you as an individual, salvation comes when you as a human being, as a person, having been born in sin with a wicked nature about you, when you as a human being realize your need, and seeing that need, you hear the gospel. You believe that that need was taken care of at Calvary, and you want that. You desire that. And so you claim Christ as your Savior. You trust Him as your Savior. If you were in a house and that house was burning down, you realize it's burning down. You'd get scared. You'd get excited. You'd realize, I'm in danger here. I see my condition. And I begin to yell at you. And I tell you a way out of there. I show you the way out of there. And you go that route because you want to go. Because you're concerned for your own safety. And you go that route, trusting me, believing that I'm telling you the truth. Well, God told you the truth. God told you that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God told you that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. God told you that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. God told you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He told you there is none good, no, not one. He told you there's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. He told you that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So you see your condition by believing what God told you. You realize you're a bad person. And realizing that, understand that God told you that you'd be better off if you could pull out your eye than to end up in hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm died not. You realize that God told you that you'd be better off to go through life with one eye and one arm than to end up in hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm died not. You realize that God told you you'd be better off with one eye, one arm, and one leg and go through life like that than to end up in hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. But you also come to realize that God told you that He was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You remember that God told you in Romans chapter 5 that when Jesus Christ died, He died for the ungodly. How bad can a person get? Ungodly is ungodly. You realize that God told you through this Bible that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died for sinners. That's you. So Christ died for you. You realize that God told you in Romans chapter 5 that when Jesus Christ died, He died for God's enemies. Realizing all that, you see, there's hope for me. You see, the light comes on. And you see, Christ took my sins upon Himself. Another man was judged for me. You see that. Another man, Jesus Christ, was tried in your behalf in a court of law, found guilty for your sins, condemned for your sins, and put to death for your sins. Therefore, all your sins were put upon Him, and all your sins were paid for by Him. And you realizing that, understand that the Bible said, God said to you, that His will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. You realize that God wants you saved. His will is that you be saved. And understanding all that, you by your own free will trust Christ as your Savior. By your own free will, you turn the job of saving you over to Christ. And you, in effect, say, I'm not going to struggle anymore. I'm never going to try to save myself again. I'm turning my salvation over to the Lord, and that the Lord's work at Calvary can't save me from hell. I'll just go there. But I'm not kicking and struggling anymore. I'm not trying to pray through to God anymore. I'm not repeating any more sinners' prayers. Never again. I'm not confessing my sins to God, trying to get Him to forgive me as a lost person ever again. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. Believing God. Believing that God delivered Him up for me. That God delivered up His Son and forsook Him at Calvary in my behalf. I'm trusting Him as my Lord and Savior right now. Believing that He paid for all my sins. Will you do that? Will you right now claim Him? Will you right now trust Him? Put your confidence in Him right now? No sinner's prayer, no walking the aisle, no praying through the altar. Just simply trust Christ. Do it. Right now. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.